Hello and welcome again to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asek of Asek Real Estate, Echo 6 Ranch Creations, thank you Danielle, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, be your strongest combination. It's been an exciting year so far, and again, the breadth and span expanse of stories never ceases to amaze me, and my next guest is no exception. He served in the Army, retired, and then picked up writing through his career, and he has a book called The Echo of Silence. I'll get that right again. Yes, The Echo of Silence, and I just look at that because I'm like, that is one of those very unique titles that sticks in my mind, because does silence make an echo? So he's going to answer that. His name is Brendan Kelly. Brendan, welcome to Oscar Mike Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Travis. And, you know, we'll talk about the echo of silence. And I'm here to tell you that silence can be louder than a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those titles that grabs you because you think about it. Does silence echo? And reading your book and understanding your story, I'm like, you know, I think you're going to make a very compelling case for that. But before we get into all the good stuff with the book, kind of tell us about, you know, who you are from the origin story through your military career. And we'll start there, please.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it. Well, you know, it's always tough when you start with telling your origin story, because I mean, we can go way back when to when I was a kid, but you know, we'll just start with joining with the military.
Okay, that's
And
fine.
you know, I joined the military kind of on a whim. Literally, you know, I hadn't thought about it through high school. I tried a little bit of college and kind of realized I was wasting money and time. And it just entered me as like, you know, I need a change. I need out of this area. You know, I had friends that weren't really friends, you know, and they were doing some dangerous things. So, you know, I joined the military, joined the Army, and man, 22 years. Couldn't have imagined I would do 22 years, but I did. And you know, the good times outweighed the bad. I'm thankful to say that's why I stayed 22 years, and I was fortunate to work in a variety of career fields throughout my military career, from, you know, working in air defense with missiles to instructing,
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
teaching.
whoa, whoa.
Go ahead, go
Which
ahead.
platform did you work on in air defense?
I worked on the low mat side of the house with Stinger missiles.
Oh, yes. So did you went to Fort Bliss for your A
Oh
school?
yeah, beautiful Fort Bliss. Yep, I was up there on the hill off of Dyer Street.
So I was air defense in the Marine Corps with the Hawk system.
Now, you know, I noticed those missiles on your system, and it made me wonder. So
Well,
yeah.
yeah, the Hawk missile system, and we would go by and see the they were rolling out Patriot when I was in the Marine Corps, and they had in my detachment they also had the Stingers and the light anti-air, the LAD, the Avenger system on the Humvee, but Patriot was primarily the superstar, if you will, it was the new thing taking over, but Stingers were still a force multiplier.
Yeah, we you know, well before, you know, Patriot came out, you know, we would of course we learned just a little bit about the Hawk system and some of the other large fun missiles we utilized in the military. But you know, it was enjoyable going through that training. For me, it was an exciting, you know, I was a young buck, 19 years old. So I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's have some fun back then. And then, you know, I was fortunate to be one of the honor graduates, and I got to fire a Stinger missile.
Ooh.
And oh, it
I don't care if it's Stinger, Patriot, or Hawk. There's nothing like watching one of those things take off. And let me ask you something, Brendan. You know, you get with all your buddies, and well, I was in supply, I was in motor T, I was an admin, or, you know, I was a machine gunner. And then, like you and I do, I'm like, you know, I was a Hawker, I was air defense, I fired like real missiles. I mean, And the room gets kind of quiet, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't think, unless you were part of the military, you can't really fathom some of the things we do.
Yes.
Some of the ridiculous weapons that, we oversee, we manage at our fingertips, and it's wild.
Especially like you said, we were young men doing this. Like, you can't own a firearm, you can't drink beer, but we'll put you behind a radar scope or with this, shoulder, not shoulder mount, but shoulder carried thing, and you're have somebody's life in your hands. No
Oh, yeah.
problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we th they trained us on this, and I mean, it becomes second nature. We learn it over and over. And then, of course, when we're deployed into a combat situation, and I remember being in Iraq, and on the back of my vehicle, I had six live missiles, and it's like, okay, I mean, I hope
Saddle
they're
up.
tight. Yeah, I hope they're tied down good, because there is no smooth terrain cutting through the middle of
No,
the
no.
desert. Yeah.
So you said, and there's something else reading the book and then understanding who you are, you said that you did several different jobs in the Army. And I think that's important because a lot of people, even, other service members think that, you primarily do one job your entire career. And you know very well that that's simply not the case if you want it to be. So kind of go over different aspects of your Army career and how you got there.
Well, starting off as a in the air defense, and then when you kind of transition from that phase of an initial enlistment, and you go into that, okay, this is going to be a career, or and you get more rank, you move up from staff sergeant, sergeant first class, or even master sergeant, the Army is going to start assigning you different opportunities. And I like to use the word opportunities because, it's better than some of the things. But, with that, I was fortunate because, I was able to get into training where I trained young soldiers. I mean, I trained soldiers anywhere from on leadership, and I taught at the Army's Air Assault School at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And that was amazing. I got to spend time as an equal opportunity representative
Oh,
for
really?
the Army, and helping units really develop how they work with soldiers. And because when I came in, there was a little bit of a transition from some of the very old school soldiers
Yep.
and old school mentality, because my drill sergeants, when I went through, they very much had a reach out and touch you mentality to get you through things if need be. As opposed to later in my career, it wasn't like that. I had friends that were on the drill sergeant's trail, and they told me that it is very different now. And but helping senior leaders be able to work with the new type of soldiers we were getting, and I don't mean that in a bad way, it's just, hey, we have to grow with the times. So I did that, and then I was also, able to get into recruiting command for a while, and that is a different beast in itself. When you're recruiting for the military, and it doesn't matter which branch, especially during a time of war,
Right.
that's a tough sell. Because we talked about, our country, which I do believe is, mostly patriotic and very supportive of our military, but it's a tough ask to get someone to join your team and knowing that, hey, you will be deployed. So.
You do all that. You have very various experiences, and Jack in the book talks about, the highs of his career. He talks about the valleys, and sometimes it seemed to be very, very hard. That comes clear. So I like the fact that it wasn't all like, with rose colored glasses, but I also like the fact that, hey, sometimes no matter what you do, you're going to go through bad times. And you talk very candidly about that. I thought it was a very interesting approach.
Absolutely, because like I said earlier, I stayed in the military because the good did outweigh the bad. I spent 22 years in the army, and there are some significant bad moments that I had. And I'll be very honest and say, some of those moments scarred me. And it got to a point during some of those moments where, I tried to take my life. It had gotten very dark. And I'm blessed and fortunate that, I had soldiers in the right place to help me, my brothers and sisters, my family, my supportive wife of 33 years.
What?
The fact that she stayed with me this long, I'm like, I don't know who's crazier, her or me.
Well, that's a story just in itself. I mean, you got people getting divorced after 13 months, much less 30 plus years. There's a story there. We'll have to maybe have to have you back on and talk about that. It must be interesting. I think the interesting thing though, as you go through the book, is you understand that you and or Jack ask for help. And a lot of people don't know how to ask for help. What prompted you to say, you know what, I need help and I'm going to raise my hand. I don't care what happens. I want help, Brendan.
Takes a lot to get there. It was throughout my military career and even in my youth, I was very independent. And in my military career, I had done very well. I promoted fast. And, I was thankfully highly regarded from my senior leadership. So, honestly, there's a bit of ego there that comes with it. And then when we start facing these challenges and these demons, it was very hard for me to even initially admit I had problems. I had to get to that hard spot underneath the hard spot, hitting rock bottom underneath the rock to finally say, I can no longer do this on my own. Please help me. And even then, I went through peaks and valleys. The first time, when I attempted to commit suicide, was in the office by myself. I was fed up. I mean, everything had reached this point, and I downed enough sleeping pills I thought that would just put me at rest. By the grace of God in the universe, one of my soldiers came into that room, a room we never use. We just threw junk in there. He came in there, found me, got me to the hospital. At that point, I asked for help, but that was one of the peaks, and I fell back down into the valley. And then years later, once again, trying to fight those demons on my own, thinking I can do this all on my own. And I couldn't. And thankfully, my wife was there to get me to the hospital. And at that point, beyond my wants, they admitted me to the hospital. And I'll tell you, Travis, to this day, even though it's been, try not to get emotional here, it's
It's all right.
been
It's all right.
about 10 years, there are 3 days there that are just a wash for me, where I was out of it. And my wife tells me the story how she didn't know who was in my body, that I had just shut off. But thankfully, like I said, she got me to the hospital, got me the help. They got me the help. And during treatment, seeing the toll it was taking on my family, my friends. I had to commit to myself right then and there. No more. I need to learn what I can, how to manage my demons, understand that these thoughts, these experiences, they're not going away. They're with me forever, but how do I now manage them? So I had to get through that training and accept it. And it's a hard road. And I see it in some of our fellow veterans, our brothers and sisters out there. And anytime an old soldier calls me or young soldier I met or I meet at different meetings or when I'm reaching out to people, I make sure I don't care what else is going on in the world. I got time for you. I got time to listen because that's what they need.
Well, that's one of the things that came through clear for Jack's story is it's mental strength to ask for that help. It's mental strength to understand that, healing's not a straight line up. You're going to have these peaks and valleys. And then I think what really comes through clear is this Jack had and developed support systems. In this case, it was his wife and other soldiers and other people. And I'm like, yes, we need that. We need to understand that it's okay. It's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to do what Jack did. And I felt that that came through very clear in what you were trying to create.
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to recognize that, to tell someone. And, bless you. Having my family and friends, I thank them in my dedication in the book. And, I'm fortunate to have some dear buddies that, I served with since basic training that we still keep in contact.
Isn't that
And
amazing?
yeah, it is. I mean, it is a brotherhood, a sisterhood that, you'll stay connected forever. And it's important to keep those connections because, everybody's going through something, regardless of how big it is, but just knowing that they have someone to reach out to if need be is important. Or just to talk and, laugh about old times and stupid things we did.
Nice. You get out. Now tell me through the transition process, because we were talking before we went to record that yes, everybody has challenges getting out, but I told you anecdotally that I've talked to senior officers, lieutenant colonels, colonels, even a brigadier general and sergeant majors and first sergeants that when they got out and really realized they're not in command anymore, they're not really in charge of a bunch of people to do all this stuff for them, that life got really real in a different way. And I was curious what your experience was.
That's one of those things you have to, realize quick. Because when you're in a senior leadership role for so long, you got, hundreds of people reporting to you and you're overseeing commands. You get out to the civilian sector, you're just another person. That's it. Your rank doesn't carry any type of significance. Thank you for being a veteran. Get a pat on the back. That's about it. A free meal from Applebee's, But yeah, all that, is tough to set aside because, granted, it's part of you. But my transition to the mil to civilian sector, I taught high school when I retired and would have never thought I would have taught high school in a million years.
How was that going from the military to high school students who, see teachers as a challenge, not someone to be, in authority over them, Brendan? How did that go?
I'll tell you what, it was actually one of the best experiences I've had. I taught
Nice.
high school for 6 years, freshmen all the way through seniors, and I actually treated my classroom. I was a strict teacher, but I was a fair teacher. I made it very clear for my students, hey, these are the rules. This is what it's like when you come into my classroom, but I will give you a voice. We'll all have an opportunity to talk. I'll respect you. You respect me. And my students bought into that. I was very fortunate. And, my third year into teaching, I actually got, nominated for Teacher of the Year and won. And I was just like, you sure you got the right bloke? But I enjoyed the students because, once again, I treated them with respect. I let them have a voice, and I tried to prepare them for life outside of high school. And honestly, the most challenging part was some of the parents, but hey, I'm a parent too, so I get it.
What led you then? You're teaching, you're enjoying life with your family, you have, your own children, being a father. Then what led you to write this book in this way?
Throughout the course of my attempt at recovery and recovering, I always jotted down notes just to kind of free my mind of things inside me. And it was actually, something shared with my wife. She said, even just getting it on paper, typing it up in your computer, you're getting it out of your head. There's a little bit of that relief. And I found that to be very true. And it was probably a couple years ago that, I was going through all my notes, and I was like, there's a story here. And I feel there's a story here that can, help a lot of people, not just military, but anybody dealing with tough times. So I started putting it together, and I started doing my homework. I felt like I was going back to school, learning about, okay, what does it take to get published? The publishing world. And so putting it together, and then I was very fortunate to connect with the agency, Absolute Love Publishing, and they bought into my story as much as I was buying into it, and we were able to put together something great.
Most people, I feel, would have created an autobiography of their story. But you chose to create, Jack Mercer, this character. And then, understanding you before we talked and other things, I'm like, okay, there's clear, you can tell that, Brendan's talking through Jack. But where did the idea come to use, Jack as a vehicle to tell your story versus you just telling it as, you in the first person?
I didn't want it to be a memoir kind of story, because even within the echo of silence, there are some pieces that, I write about that are universal to, everybody who's put on the uniform. And, there are stories in there that, I felt everybody could relate to, regardless of what they've done in life. So, and then I also wanted to create part of the story of kind of like the other side, because I write in there about, the two Iraqi soldiers that, I took their lives. And, it's war, it's combat, I get it, but I wanted to write what would their life possibly have been like. And I had heard stories, all of us when we were there, how, some of the Iraqi civilians were just kind of getting shanghaied and loaded up, saying, "All right, you're a soldier now, you're going to send out to fight." And I kind of built stories around that. So it became more of a novel to encompass a bigger picture as opposed to just my story.
What was happening to you then as you're writing about Jack and you're having to replay certain parts of your life in your mind and then, tell the story as Jack because you're having to kind of relive these moments, prioritize and figure out what works and then put them down on paper. But oh, yeah, as a bonus, have that vision to make it bigger by having Jack tell it for you.
Was another form of therapy,
Really?
literally, because It is not a subject I talk a lot about. I have dear friends that, I've been deployed with, and we don't even talk much about it. Occasionally, mention things when some times are tough and that, things are in the past, we're here now. But writing it was another way of me to get it off my chest, get the monkeys off my back, that being vulnerable enough to admit that, man, I went through these tough times. I know there's other people going through them. You're not the only one. So it was a little bit of therapy, and 110% transparency here. There were moments I had to pause. I had to cry because, I'm writing this vivid story, and you have that flashback of those days. And, honestly, I'd go out and talk to my wife, I'm like, that was tough to get through. That was tough to write. But, it's still getting it out. It's not holding it in.
You write the book, and then I've asked other authors this before. You go through the writing process, you go through the editing process. No one likes to do that. And then you get it to your publisher, they look at it, they put, their blessing on it. Tell me, Brennan, what was it like holding the first, like, zero copy of the book in its physical form? What was that like for you?
When I got the first like fully edited draft, and then my editor and I agreed on a cover, I called up my sister and brother-in-law, told my wife, I was like, we're going out for dinner tonight. We're gonna celebrate. We found a nice restaurant, we had cocktails, and it was just like, man, it was kind of like I did it. I'm gonna toot my horn. I'm gonna toot my horn tonight. I did it. I was like, we did it.
You took the victory lap.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So here's the question that's been, on my mind since I first, started looking at this. The title is called literally The Echo of Silence. And I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, well, he's telling his story through Jack, and he's giving voice to his story through Jack. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Scientifically, can silence have an echo? So unpack all that for me, because again, I think that's whatever you're trying to do with a title, it definitely grabs you something different than the normal, a military memoir or autobiography that you see in your, Kindle library or bookstore.
Well, that was a lovely collaboration with my publisher.
Okay.
Being able to communicate back and forth with my publisher, we're shooting ideas at one another. And, in the book, there are a lot of parts where I mention the silence, the heaviness of it. And, she started peeling the onion back a little bit. And, she was actually the first one to mention it, Caroline, my publisher. And as soon as I read it, saw that title, I was like, man, you hit the nail on the head. Because in the book, I talk about the various silences, the silences after significant, combat action, the silence of being alone in the morning, waking up. And within that silence, so many thoughts and images that would come through that, it's not a quiet room. There's a lot of noise going on within that silence, and it's the memories, it's the thoughts, and it builds up to a lot. And that, but seeing that title, it just made so much sense.
One of the things that came clear to me reading Jack's story is there's healing through asking for help. There's healing through creation, but there's also, One of the things you touched on in the book that I felt that came clear is purpose through service. Like you had this purpose of being in the army and then growing to a senior leadership role. You went back to high school, but you found that through service, you got your purpose again. And I was curious, what that was like for you.
I appreciate you bringing that up because, in the military, we pretty much always have a purpose, whether we're prepping for it or doing it or whatever the case. And my path, I would say probably when I stopped teaching high school, I lost my purpose for a bit. I was no longer leading soldiers, I was no longer educating, our youth. Teaching high school, and it made me feel almost alone. Even though I had my friends and family around me, there was no purpose, and I had to find that again, because it's the human soul, of being alive, the drive to have a purpose, whether it's helping others, telling a story, or even knowing that every Saturday you're going downtown to just give some fresh water to the homeless. Having that little bit of purpose can, help get you through. And I had to find that again. And, thankfully, I did.
That kind of goes into my next thing about, purpose and isolation. A lot of times I'm being told that, veterans, people get on this suicidal pathway because they feel cut off, or they cut themselves off from people that might care about them or community or whatever. But it seemed like, Jack, and by extension, you always had a support system around you in some form or function, and maybe that was community, maybe that was, like you said, your old soldiers from the troop. But how important is that for other people going through hard times, Brendan?
It's important because it's something we, at times when things get challenging, tough, and we hit rock bottom, we can get blinded where we have those blinders on and we don't see the support cast around us. We automatically go into that fear and reaction mode, kind of like that fight or flight mode. Where either fear is going to take over, or I'm going to fight through this. And a lot of times when fighting through this, we're thinking we have to fight through this alone. Just my experience. I did that. That I learned to take that step back and pause and even just tell myself out loud, I'm not alone in this. I don't have to carry this by myself. I can reach out to some very dear friends, my family, my wife, my daughters. I can go pick up my dog and she'll love me to death. And I know I'm not alone in this. And people have to remember that. And I know it's easier said than done when they're in their darkest moments. But if they can somehow just look out further enough and see that flicker of light that they can call a best friend, a neighbor, a family member, and help kind of bring them back out of it.
The book and the dedication talks very warmly about your family, and your book goes into, Jack's relationship with his wife. But you're a father, and I'm curious, how do your children see you now as you move from soldier to now author? You've been a high school teacher. What's your relationship like with your children as they've seen you mature in front of their eyes?
I think I can honestly say now that I am the example I want to be for them.
Okay.
I will tell you when, during my later military years, when they were still young, I was gone a lot. When I would come home, I would have to learn again how the household was running because, my wife would have things going. Have the girls to school, have the systems, and I had to learn how not to mess that up. And then when I retired, I had to learn how to be Brendan Kelly as opposed to, Sergeant Kelly or whatever. And even then it was stressful because I was trying to, be a little too hard when need be. And part of that was, things I was, trying to put off, things I was trying to avoid, not think about, not deal with. But once I got over that hump and did get better, I think I was more vulnerable to share with them that, hey, I'm your dad. I know I'm supposed to be this rock, but, I can break just like anybody else. So helping them that, just to be open about things. And, I'm hoping each day I can share with them how to be a better human being. But they're all grown now too, and there are days, man, they show me how to be a better human being in their actions and kindness and love.
I'm in the bookstore, or I'm on Amazon, I'm on Barnes and Noble, and I see this book on the shelf, and I pick it up and buy it. And again, I'll have the link to this book in the Ask Mike Radio Show post. What do you want someone to get out of this book when they read Jack's story, Brendan?
I think the number one thing that you're not alone, regardless of what level of challenges or difficulties you're going through, because even if it might be minor to someone else, it's big for you if you're going through it. But you're not alone. Reach out to someone. You don't have to do things on your own. It's not like tying your shoes where I can do this on my own. There are some things we need help. We need the community. And when we have a community working together, helping one another, I mean, that's what makes us a better society. We got each other's back.
You've served our country for a long time. You've seen, like I said, the thing very clearly in Jack's story is there's peaks and valleys of service. There's peaks and valleys in life. You've had to ask for help, get help, and keep yourself moving forward. And now, again, you took the victory lap when you created this wonderful book and story for us. What's next for you, Brendan? I mean, is it the kind, do you have something else in mind to write about, or are you just going to, tell people more about this book? What do you got going on?
Well, it currently is a lot of getting out there and talking about this book, and I hope to be able to speak with more groups, veteran groups, or anybody dealing with mental health challenges. And at the same time, I've started working on new books.
Oh, yes.
I'm working on some new stories, and I was actually asked yesterday by someone, what kind of book are you going to write now? And I was like, well, I always want to have a story that's inspiring. And, I'm not going to give anything away about the current book I'm working on, but there's some uplifting and inspiring moments.
Not even a hint, huh? Nothing?
I'll tell you, there's a four dear friends that go through life together, and as I've talked about, it takes a village, a community, and I kind of build upon that.
All right. Well, you certainly whetted my appetite. I can't wait to hear about it. And certainly, I just want to extend you an invitation already to come back on and talk to me about it when your book is ready. How can people connect with you? Like sometimes, an author talks to me, someone reads a book, and they're like, wow. I mean, do they have a website? Is there some way I can, reach out and say, hey, great job, or whatever? How can people connect with you, Brendan?
They can connect with me on my website. It's very simple website, triple dub BrendanTKelly.com. And they could find me on Instagram at Brendan underscore the author. And I'm always happy to talk with people, share ideas, and I'm not trying to stay invisible. I want the story out there, and if I can help someone or anyway, yeah.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The Echo of Silence. Think about that for a minute, with author, Army veteran Brendan Kelly. Brendan, it's just this part of Oscar Mike Radio is so much not only fun, but fulfilling to do. When I hear your story, I'm like, we have hope. And, I don't want to end on a bad note, but we've had so much focus on the 22 a day and so many things going wrong with the military that I feel like this one shows everybody that, when you ask for help, it can work. When you understand you need help, it can work. And when you understand, and the book captures this perfect, I said it before, that it's peaks and valleys. It's just nice to meet someone like yourself and realize that you've done it. And I have somebody to point to when someone's going through a hard time. So I just want to say thank you for sharing. And do you have any closing thoughts for us, please?
No, first and foremost, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And, I'll just share again that, I hope people can connect with my book and know that they're not alone. And when we're working together, it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, folks, my name is Travis Oscar Mike Radio. My guest, Brendan Kelly, author, Army veteran. The book is The Echo of Silence. I'll have all the links on Oscar Mike Radio show post. Brendan, thank you again. I can't wait to, see what is coming next, and we'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it, Travis. Thank you.
We are Mission in Flight. We'll see you next time.
Every generation, every sacrifice. Our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co. Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.